Thessalonians chapter 1. Hallelujah. God is good. He's having a good time. Amen?
Yes.
And if he's having a good time, what do you know about, what do you think about me? Amen? There's all kinds of opportunities to complain, aren't there? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the devil really loves, he loves, he's the chief complainer. You know, he wanted to be the head of everything, you know. He's already the worship leader, and you want to be the top gun. You want to do, you're thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. Amen? Praise God. It's not helpful because you need Jesus. You need assistance. You can't do anything of yourself. You're a vessel. Amen?
Amen.
But you've got this idea that, you know, you can do something on your own and of your own volition and ability. But you have none. Amen. You have absolutely none. Is God created you for his purposes and for his fellowship. He created you to enjoy fellowship with him and he with you. Amen? And so that's what he came to do. That's what he came to do when Jesus came. He came to restore us and bring us into the kingdom of heaven. God began to bring the word to his people. People forgot him. Even after the first few hundred years, they began to forget God, forget the creation. Amen? So God is doing great things with us. And it began at the very beginning with Eve. He said, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. What? You know, they know about the serpent here, but the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of that serpent. The first messianic prophecy that brings us to the restoration of the kingdom of God in the earth. God's kingdom was given originally to Adam. Amen?
Yes.
God's kingdom was originally given. And he decided he was going to go with his wife instead. So, you know. And guys, you should go with your wife. But you should go with your wife leading her to the kingdom of heaven, to the gospel of heaven. Don't let her run off.
That's life.
Don't let her run off by herself. Amen? Amen. Women, pray for your husband. Don't let him run off by himself. Amen? He'll get into trouble. Amen? Adam's a goofball, you know, and she gave to her husband with him, and she did, and he did eat, dummy.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just goodness sake, that guy just was not listening to the kingdom to God that day. Something he must have missed. He missed something, because all of a sudden he went according to his desires, not knowing that following after the desires of God gives you all things. Amen. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We began by finishing up the First Thessalonian letter. This one is a follow up to that letter, as Paul was writing to the churches to let them know how that the Holy Spirit was moving in their ministry, but also to make correction and make clear some of the things that may have been misunderstood, especially in the prior letter. You know, we remember he talks about the coming of the Lord and letting them know that, well, as much as it may have sounded imminent at that moment, it may not be quite as imminent as you think. So don't be getting up in your white robes and getting on the rooftop and, you know, ready to go. You know, because there are more things to be done before the Lord comes again. But before he begins with that, I'm always impressed and encouraged that he begins by building up. That he begins by building us up and encouraging us. Amen? And that's what God does with you. He begins by building you up and encouraging you. Then he begins to make correction. Amen? He doesn't start out with beating you up. He starts out with love. He starts out to minister to you, to encourage you, and to build you up, that you are his beloved. Amen?
Yes, right.
So enjoy. Let's enjoy that. Let's enjoy being and walking as the beloved of God. This world is falling away, passing away, falling apart. This world is not where you're going to have your best success. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Now, people may have all kinds of worldly success, but this world is not where you live in success.
Amen.
You live in success in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Because you are born from above, you are transformed and changed into this kingdom. You have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yet while you live here, you are still buffeted about with this world. One of my kids was discussing this the other day about how someone may say, well, you may not be able to handle this thing or that thing, talking about things that are in the world. Or even other believers who, you know, it's kind of like, I can handle this, but I know you probably can't handle that. And we were discussing that within the context of how the gospel is working on the inside of you. Is that, no, it's not that I can't handle anything. I'm instructing her. She is built up and strong in the gospel, and she has chosen to keep herself from those things, and because she knows the destruction of that. Whereas, have you ever had somebody come telling you, well, you know, that may be a little too much for you? Yeah, looking at you as if you are naive or you are have a difficult time with rough subjects. Rather than that, actually the gospel has taught you to stay away from destructive behavior. Amen?
Amen.
And the gospel has taught you how to do that and to stay, what James says, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Amen? And again, these things are not, we'll get back to that. These things are not about you behaving yourself and having God be happy with you because of some behavior. But it's because you have been instructed how to live so that the world does not spot you, stain you, and slow you down. Amen? You have determined that thing there, even though, you know, it would say, well, a strong person could handle that. No, that's a lie. The issue is what did God say? Did God say, keep yourself unspotted from the world, and why did He say it? So that He can just be happy and have a row of nice, dusted, clean fixtures that He can point out and have somebody look at. No, it's so that you are a vessel fit for His use.
Amen?
Because all of these other things can just slow you down. It's like having too much to eat or too much of anything that causes your body or your mind not enough sleep. Whatever it is that you may be involved in that is slowing you down, we can take a lesson from the physical. The things will slow you down physically, health-wise. They will slow you down. And so by that same token, there are things spiritually and soulishly that will slow you down. And so the living God has instructed us by wisdom how to avoid those things and to walk, again, unspotted from the world so that our light is bright. Part of covering your light with a bushel is covering it with worldly junk. Amen? It's covering it up with worldly junk. And again, we have to make that distinction that this is what God is doing to grow us up and to transform us, not, again, to put some kind of a report card on us that we're trying to maintain. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so powerful to know. And you've got to make that distinction. Otherwise, the devil just gets you off into a gutter of guilt and condemnation. Right? Guilt and condemnation, everybody say, it's a waste of time.
Waste of time.
Yes, it is. Now, it's not because you don't understand that this issue is a problem. But the fact is that guilt and condemnation will sidetrack you. Mm-hmm. So what you immediately need to do is repent. That is, you see the Word of God, you make the turn, change your mind, and then you begin to worship and rejoice and thank God for His deliverance and for His direction.
Amen.
Amen.
You're in control, Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love these beginnings, and I don't like to pass over them. It's not like howdy folks. And this is the beginning of the encouragement right here. is that, you know, you may have walked into church this morning, and now you need to know that you are the church of Fort Worth in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Amen. You, not just the body, but you individually.
That's right.
Amen? Travis,
that's right.
You know, Ron and Ellen, Danny, you know, people we don't even know are part of us because they have come in and to worship with us and to dwell with us.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So they are, we are the church in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here, grace to you and peace. Did you receive that right now? Did you get some of that?
Yes.
You want me to read it again?
Yes.
Grace to you. Take some of that.
You
know, I almost want to have a bowl of it up
Amen.
Here. We can pass it around. Amen?
Bowl.
We'll pass it around again. Amen. Grace to you. Big bowl. And peace from God our Father. Who?
Lord Jesus.
From God our Father, do you remember when Jesus began to talk to the Jews back in the Gospels? Remember the Sermon on the Mount? He began to talk about your Father.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He had never known God as their Father before. That was just odd talk. Yeah, I mean, God is God. He's above us. He's over us. He is untouchable. You can't even speak His name. But Jesus began to refer to God as your Father. When you pray, go into your closet and pray privately. And your Father, who sees privately, will reward you openly. So this is your Father. Amen? Your Father. And He tells His disciples, it is the Father Himself who loves you. So if we look here and we relate that to what Jesus was teaching us, it says grace and peace, so the power of God, and the mercy of God, which is the grace of God. That's what His grace is and imparts to us, is power for salvation, and mercy for forgiveness. And His favorable countenance towards you, and peace, wholeness, completeness, shalom. You are complete. I'm complete in Him.
Yes,
Amen?
That's right.
Now, He'll bring to me, He'll show you your sin, but He's showing you your sin to show you what? That He has already covered it. And so that now that He's covered it, you are walking in His power, walking in His grace, walking in His peace, His completeness. That's how you walk. And so we do this every day. You've got to remind yourself. Go ahead and read this one every day if you want. It's right here, and you could actually read it, and you could actually encourage yourself. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I do. Yes, amen. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, I wish y'all were named David. Y'all could do that too, but, you know. But I believe God will give you the permission. You know, you can just stick your name in there. You know, and you know, Ron encouraged himself in the Lord. That'll be good. That'll be helpful. Amen. So because you have that same authority. Amen. So same as David was in the Old Testament. David was in the Old Testament, but what he knew was the love of God. Amen. The law of God and the law of God in the whole Old Testament was designed for really one purpose, is to keep the king, keep Israel intact, to bring us the Savior.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And to declare the will of God and the love of God for His people. Read Isaiah. Read Jeremiah. He's declaring the Word of God and the plan of God for His people. That's what Israel is all about. Israel is designed to be what? A light to the Gentiles.
Yes.
They're designed to be a light to the... Not a keep the Gentiles out and nobody in but us four and no more, you know. That was not the design of God for Israel. The design of God for Israel was to carry the light and to carry the plan of salvation until the fullness of time when Jesus was born of a virgin, suffered, died, rose again, and delivered the Holy Spirit to live in each one of us so that we can live with God in His presence together as one body. Amen? So that's that plan. And so now God says in every one of you who will believe. Abraham was a man of faith. Moses was not a man of law. Moses was a man of faith. Amen. He delivered the law, but he was a man of faith and had trusted God. He said, if you don't go up, we don't want to go with you. We're not going if you're not going. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Faith applied in every generation. Faith applied in every generation. Amen. Those who will believe, faith applies in every generation. So, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Jim encouraged himself in the Lord. Norman encouraged himself in the Lord. What a thankful thing. Amen. Is that God has given you that understanding of His Word. Is that to encourage yourself in the Lord. To let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Amen. All right. Look at getting past verse 2. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. So it's not about the brethren, it's about God, isn't it? But we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, proper. Because that your faith grows exceedingly. And the charity or the agape of every one of you all toward each other abounds. That's evident. They will know we are Christians because we have love one for another. That's how they know. That's how they know. Amen? Not because we're grappy at each other and irritated at one another, but because we forgive one another. We're tender-hearted, filled with tender-heartedness and mercy. Amen? Not grumpy because, you know, you didn't get your color in the bathroom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You ever had that problem? Praise the Lord. All right. All of these things. See, everybody's got an opinion. Amen? Amen? They're cheap. You know, opinions are, you know, everybody's got one. It's like noses, they say. All right? And everybody's got one. But you don't have to impress yours on someone else. Amen? Just go to Jesus. Just go to Jesus before you speak. Amen? Go to Jesus before you speak. So, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is appropriate, because your faith grows exceedingly. You know faith can grow exceedingly? You know that? Your faith grows exceedingly. Don't you just, you know, there's things in the Scripture that you just should stop and meditate on. We could put Selah right there. Yes. Amen? You know, I think we ought to begin reusing the word Selah in the New Testament. You know, every time you run across something that makes you pause, just write that in there. Stop here and think about that. Stop here and meditate on that. Because the Holy Spirit will do that. See, the Holy Spirit did that in the Psalms. It says, stop and meditate on that. Stop right here for a minute. Let's just rest here for a minute in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Because we have so many things that get our attention. There's so many things that get our attention. And so God wants to get your attention. He wants to have your attention rather than things in this world having your attention. How many things can have your attention in this world? How many things can have your attention? Let's see here. Income, lack of income, taxes, children, husbands, wives, churches, church members. You know, there's many things that can get your attention. And, you know, the enemy's like, hey, look here. You know, look at me. And he wants to get your eyes off the Lord. He wants to get your eyes off of your rest. Amen? See, the enemy wants to get your eyes off of your rest and onto the, like the guy there on the shore of the, you remember the Gadarene over there? They're riding across in the boat. And all of a sudden, the guy on the shore, you know, the guy's like, Jesus, look! All of a sudden, they're not listening to Jesus. They're looking over here at this guy running up and down the shore. Naked. You know. Streaking. Thank you. And the enemy loves to do that in every situation. How about every day? Don't you have something? I mean, you're just walking down the street, and the enemy has some kind of an idea that, hey, watch this.
Yes.
you know, throw something out in front of you and see if you'll jump. And what your heart is that nothing moves me.
Amen.
You've heard Paul talk about that. None of these, you know, they described to Paul, in fact, while he was in prison, if you remember in Philippians chapter 1, he's in prison, and all these guys are taking the opportunity to preach what they want to preach. Now, Paul says this, is that as long as Jesus Christ and His kingdom are being preached, I'm grateful and I'm thankful.
Amen.
So I'm not going to, you know, shut those guys down. But the fact is they're doing so much of it in the flesh. How many of you, but he says, I'm not going to let that move me. I'm not going to let that move me. Yes. Don't let things, even though things are done in the flesh, don't let that be your sidetrack. Amen? I mean, we can get all sidetracked about something that's not going the way that I thought it should go. Or something that went a different way than what Pastor Jim said, you know, or something of that nature. You know, said, well, you did. No, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him just guide you as far as what are you to say?
Amen.
What are you to not say?
Amen.
Amen? Let the Holy Spirit guide your word. Guide your mouth.
Yes.
Again, we go back to James. Let the Holy Spirit guide your mouth. Because you actually are in charge of your mouth. Did you find that out? Amen. Because obviously you can keep going or you can hush.
Amen.
Amen. So God can bring you wisdom and He can teach you how to guard your tongue. Amen.
Lord,
I mean, the Scripture definitely talks about how the tongue is unruly. It's an unruly member. I mean, you thought you had unruly kids. Well, you know, how about your own mouth? How about mine? Amen. You know, that tongue just flaps faster than anything you ever saw. All right? Now, but here, your faith is growing exceedingly, verse 3, and the charity, the agape, which is the gift of God, that's the love of God given by God, that's the love of God you never had before. That's the love of God that wasn't of you, didn't emanate from you, wasn't produced at all by you. It's a gift. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. And the love of every one of you all toward each other is abounding. So it can actually take place. This can actually happen. The Word of God says and declares that the agape of God can take place in your midst. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Well, I think the Scripture talks about enduring those tribulations. Amen? The Bible says what? Him that endureth to the end shall be saved. So, and now why is that? Is that because endurance has to do with that faith that is growing exceedingly. That endurance has to do with that exceeding, growing faith. Because when those troubles come, you rejoice. Amen? When troubles come, you rejoice that troubles don't trouble you. Amen? Remember what Jesus said? That your tribulations will be many, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. In the world, you have many tribulations. I guess you could count that as kind of a backhanded promise. Amen? It's a guarantee. In this world, you will have trouble, tribulations, things that will not appear to go your way. Amen? But be of good cheer.
Amen.
I have overcome the world.
Amen.
The world that you happen to be in where the tribulations come. I have overcome that world. Amen? You are in the world, but you're not of the world. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Faith and patience in all your persecutions, all the persecutions, is an evident token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you suffer. In other words, you remember as he says, if somebody were to suffer for an evil done to them, or for, you know, the, or an evil that they did, it's, you know, what it should, as it should be. Yes. But for you to suffer for righteousness and for goodness, that is faith and patience and the power of God. Yes. And as, and in doing so, that is a manifestation of the living God, of the righteous judgment that has been effected already in you. Amen? Yes. This is a righteous judgment that has already been declared and decreed upon you. Is that this person has been forgiven and walks in the love of God and the peace of God.
Amen.
So you're walking in peace all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Now again, I'm not saying that outwardly in your emotions you don't get a little, you know, a little wound up for about a couple of minutes. But you recognize it because you have a flesh.
Yeah.
Anybody still got one of these? I'm looking at them all.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Smile at me. There you go. See? Yeah, I see them all. I see all these fleshes looking at me. You still got one. That means sin still is in there. Sin still is in the flesh. It's not from the heart, but it's in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is cleansing you day by day. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be totally without sin. But the Holy Spirit is teaching you to reign over that sin.
Amen.
Because of His power.
Amen.
He's teaching you to reign over these. You're learning to walk in His grace. All right?
Yes.
Now, that's what he's talking about with the Thessalonians. If we remember back over in the first chapter of, or the first book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God in much affliction, with prayer, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." That'd be like Texas and Oklahoma. You know, they're in the city of Thessalonica. That'd be like you being in Houston or Dallas. And then, but in a city, but you are an example that was heard of all over the region. "So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that your faith toward Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves," the folks up there in Macedonia, "show us of what manner of entering in we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." So the testimony of the Thessalonians had already preceded Paul when he went to these other towns and cities. That's your testimony.
Yeah,
amen?
Right.
So Pastor Jim goes to Uganda, they just already, "Hey, we heard about your people. They're just filled with peace, love. They've met all of our needs. They sent all kinds of money and help over here. And we've heard of their testimony." And that's what your testimony is, isn't it? Praise the Lord. That's what God is working on the inside of you. So listen, today, don't be sweating your failure. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He's directing you, guiding you, and put aside those things which you failed and say, "Lord, I just cast off those things which have burdened me."
Amen.
"And I have determined to walk in your presence in the love of God, rejoicing and giving you praise, because this is what is transforming me. Not looking at my sins, but and meditating and contemplating my sins." That's not doing it. Contemplating your sins is not going to do it. Just repent. Amen?
Amen?
Attempting to get out of your hole is not helping. And let God get you out of the hole. You just recognize that you're there. Amen?
Amen.
Just recognize that you're in one.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that He's going to get you out. Amen?
Amen?
So as you begin to worship and you get up and don't hide out in your house. Get out and begin to walk.
Right.
Don't go back to where the sin happened, probably. You know, try to avoid that place, that corner. Amen? But you want to begin to walk in fellowship with other believers, worship the Lord, get into fellowship with the Word of God yourself, encourage one another, forgive those who have come your way that have offended you. Amen?
Amen?
Learn how to do these things, because offenses will come, the Bible says. Offenses will come, and they will take up all of your time. Amen. They'll take up all of your time. Amen?
Amen.
They will just eat you up. It's kind of like guilt. The devil's got all kinds of things. It's just like pulling a string. It just, the whole thing just kind of comes unraveled if you just sit there and pull that string. Amen? What you want to do is you begin is forgive immediately. Forgive yourself. Forgive that other person. And begin to walk in joy. Amen? And begin to praise Him and to thank Him. Okay? Amen? You learn how to do that. Learn how to do that. When I say learn how, begin to practice it. And again, the begin to practice is not, please, please, please. It's not that, well, now God's happy with me. No! He's already happy. He's just training you up in the way you should go, just like a child. Amen? So that you're walking with Him, and so that the gospel is being demonstrated and spread abroad throughout your sphere of influence. You guys, every one of you has a sphere of influence. Every one of you has an area like Macedonia and Achaia. You know, you got your little house, which is Thessalonica, the city, and then you got your, you know, neighborhood, your city, your area, your people, your gang, your groups, your outfit that you hang with, you know, that God has put you. You have certain acquaintances. Amen? Everybody does. You know, well, I don't have any friends. Well, you got one. You know, you got somebody that's watching you. I got news for you. You got somebody's looking. If somebody's watching you. Are you rejoicing?
Amen.
Amen. If you got a job, somebody's looking at you.
Amen.
Amen. So you just rejoice. Amen. If you're a boss, you know, people are watching, and so they're looking at you to rejoice. Amen.
And to
give thanks. And I mean, you're affecting, you know, many people. You're affecting many people. For the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. You have to come back to, what is Jesus talking to me about? Amen. What is Jesus talking to me about? Because you're not here to just work. You know, and keep yourself out of trouble and keep your nose clean. Amen. That's not why you're here. I mean, otherwise Jesus could just, God just take you home. Amen. But He doesn't want to. He's not interested in taking you home. He's interested in causing you to become a vessel fit for His use.
Amen. Hmm?
And so that's what He's beginning to do. All right, let's look. Verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Well, finally, that's good news, isn't it? They're going, it's payback. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Just bide your time. Just rest. It's okay. You're all upset about the people who've troubled you. God said He'll take care of that. Don't worry about that. Amen. And it doesn't mean sit there and just kind of
marinate
in it. Thank you. That's good. Oh, good. They're going to get it one day, you know. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Oh, we got to wait that long? When we got to, He'll be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished forever, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony in you was believed. He'll become to admired in you, all of you that believe, all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So in other words, they're going to see the fruit of the gospel. They're going to see the fruit of the gospel and be devastated.
Yes, that's right. Power.
Amen. They're going to see that. And that's the truth of you, is that because your testimony has been believed, others in that day will see. And be that testimony of, and that God being glorified in all of His saints will be admired in that day. Wherefore, verse 11, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power.
Amen.
So let's read that again. Wherefore, also we pray always for you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're praying for you. Pastor Jim and I are praying for you. You're praying for others. There's deacons and elders here praying for you, praying for every one of you. You're praying for someone else. Amen?
Amen.
Wherefore, we, and you should be always praying for those whom you minister to, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill. And in counting you worthy, He will do this. Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and fulfill all the work of faith with power. He'll fulfill the work of faith with power. You didn't have that before.
Nope.
You had no power before. Amen. Because you were just operating on your own, just operating in the flesh, operating as a human being without hope in this world. But since you came and met the living God, the living God has come to dwell and live on the inside of you. He has changed you and is changing you. Are you enjoying this change that He's doing? Enjoy it. Rest in it. Enjoy what God is doing in you. Because what He's doing is taking the world out of you.
Amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. He's taking the world out of you. That's what you need. I need the world taken out of me. I kind of grew up here. Anybody else? You know? Anybody grow up on the moon or something? You know? No TV? You know? No internet? You know? You did? Okay, yeah. I was wondering about you. All right. No. You all grew up here. You all grew up in the flesh. You all grew up with eyes, ears, and nose and a mouth, enjoying all the sensations of this world. But God sent His Son in the fullness of time to bring His gospel to you so that you would be aware that there is a kingdom that you knew not of. There is a kingdom of heaven. This world, again, is passing away. It's passing away. You know, you hear them talk about it all the time. Well, the world's going to pass away 4 or 5 million years. You know, I think it's going to be quicker. You know, it's not going to fall away of its own physical, natural accord. It's going to fall away because of sin. Amen? Because sin is destroying the world. If you look into just the nature of the society today and what everyone is accepting and wanting you to accept as normal, that Christians walking in love are now accused of walking in hate. Amen? No, it's not surprising. I mean, are you offended by that? Don't get offended. But, well, they just hate us. Well, of course they do. The Bible told you, you know, you were going to be hated.
Amen.
Why? Because they're evil. Their deeds are evil, and they don't like that light. They don't like the light shining. The fact that the light is shining, is all it's doing is shining a light on death.
That's right.
Amen. It's not because people are just like bad and worse than you. See, that's what people like to think. Well, you think you're better than me. It's like that person I was talking about earlier, you know, who's kind of, you know, well, you just can't handle that kind of thing because you're kind of a weak and naive kind of person. And, no, I just chose to follow God. And God said, don't do it because it's not, you know, it's not helpful. And I got news for you, it's not helpful for you either. But you are willing to let that pass. You're willing to let those things completely, you know, inundate you and speak to your mind, and you're willing to walk in that, and that's going to destroy you. That will certainly at least hinder you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That will at least hinder you, you know. And, you know, as I was studying and just moving from 1 Thessalonians to 2 Thessalonians, you know, that's what came to my heart, yeah. is that, and then several other things this week, that how the world is certainly post-Christian. You know, we are back to Greece and Rome, in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. We're back to those days. We're back to, I mean, as much as Sodom and Gomorrah. These things continually recycle. We've had pretty much a 1,000-year, a good solid 1,000-year reign of Christianity since about 1,000, you know. And, of course, you know, we talk about, you know, how the Catholic Church kind of took over, basically, in Europe and Europe and Western Asia throughout between the time of Jesus and the time of here that we live in today, about 2,000 years. But that is going away. the predominance of that is going away because men desire to have their own way. They desire to have flesh. That's the nature of sin. Mm-hmm. We've just kind of kept it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pastor Jim said we've kind of kept the weeds down. You know, kept the grass mowed. You know, but just by sheer pressure, don't do that, or the church will get you. And we've got the state locked up, so the state's going to get you. But if you'll notice, even the legislatures are just, you know, they're letting everything go. I mean, the idea that liberty is the liberty to do whatever the flesh wants to do, not liberty to serve God. Not liberty from sin to serve the living God, but liberty libertinism to just do whatever the flesh says to do. You remember the 60s? Well, some of you do. It's whatever, if it feels good, do it. That was the mantra. And that's truly the mantra, you know, forever. That's truly the mantra of the entire of the flesh. Is if it feels good, do it. You know, and whatever was in their mind to do, they would do. Even in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, whatever they thought of to do, they would do it. You know, it's just whatever came to their mind. How many know that there are things that can come to your mind? Huh? They're doing it all day on television nowadays. I mean, you know, anything that comes to their mind, they'll create a show for it, network for it. Huh? I mean, they'll create something for it, some space for it. And so what the Scripture is telling you to do, listen, is don't create a space for that.
That's right.
Do not create no provision for the flesh. Amen? That's easy. No, don't make an allowance for the flesh to rule and to reign. All right? And again, I always got to back up because people misunderstand. It's not about behaving so God likes you.
Amen.
It's about walking in the power of the Holy Spirit to be a demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom to bring in the finished work of Jesus. Amen? That's what this is. That's what this is. So that he would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and fulfill the work of faith. Fulfill the work of, what's the work of faith? The work of faith, preaching the gospel. Declaring the good news, declaring that God is come into the world to deliver the world from the power of sin with his own power. So that, verse 12, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to look back over at Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute, please. Chad was sharing out of this morning. All right. So that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, in line with, directly corresponding to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look here. Verse 3, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now we could keep going. Let's look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, before ordained, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be, here it is, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of God. That we should be to the praise of his glory. I'm going to read the first couple of verses coming out of into chapter 2. I'm not going to work at all. Now we beseech you, brethren. This is, I'm sorry, back in 2 Thessalonians chapter, moving on to chapter 2. Now We beseech you, we desire you earnestly, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together to Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, that the man of sin shall be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that what withholds, so that man of sin coming in first, that's before Jesus comes. Now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now prevents will prevent until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They received not. There's a decision involved there, isn't it?
That's right.
They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If you remember what Romans says? He gave them over. He gave them, once they were determined, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Okay, well, okay. You've made that decision. You have pursued that. If anyone were to turn, God will receive them. I'll tell you that anyone who will return, God will receive them. But here, you've made a decision, a determination to walk away from the gospel. God will not stop you. That's that determination. That they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So where's salvation come from? Sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. Amen. Not your strength and ability.
Generation.
All right. And belief of the truth, whereto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, listen, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle.
Yes.
Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you today.
Thank you.
We thank you for the work that you began. The work that you will complete in us. We thank you for the mercy that you are bringing to pass in our hearts. We thank you for the power that is delivering us from the power of sin. Though we have a body that is still bound in this world, the power of God through the living Holy Spirit reigns and causes us to walk in righteousness and to repent when you show us our deeds. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you today, Father, that you are our testimony. You are our strength. And your deliverance is daily, as is your mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. It's like a resurrection from the dead every day. So, Father, I pray that we would remain unspotted from the world.
Steadfast.
that the living God speak to our hearts, cause us to walk in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, so that our testimony is evident and the transforming power of the gospel is seen throughout every corner we visit. Father, we repent today of our following after the flesh to please ourselves or to please people. And we see how it is destructive to the mission of the gospel. And we ask you, Lord God, to cause us to walk in deliverance from those things which would hinder the gospel and our testimony. But most of all, we ask you to, in fact, show us the joy of following you in daily walk and staying away from sin. We rejoice and give you glory. We thank you, Lord God. We ask you this day to cause us to walk in holiness because you do love us, and deliver us from the power of the enemy in every way. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you thanks. Let the gospel of the kingdom be seen in us in a mighty way. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.